Welcome to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And Cindy, it's going to sound really, really silly because this is about food and wine. So when is the first time that you thought about, wait, I should have this food with some particular wine? How old were you that you had a moment where you realized maybe they had some purpose together, or did it take a long time? Or
actually, it did definitely take a long time. And I think one of the first times it really kind of hit me was when we were tasting with a French winemaker in his cellar. And I had been used to, in my younger years, listening to people in California talking about, in Napa Valley, talking about wine and, you know, not really talking about food, not referencing food in their thoughts when they were talking about their process.
Beverage only.
Right. And then this amazing winemaker is standing in his cellar and we're having this opportunity to taste his beautiful work. And he just immediately starts talking about, you know, morels or truffle dishes or some gratin that they made over the weekend and how that would be amazing.
I think I recall that because just from watching your face, I think that was a Côte de Lambre and it was Thierry years and years ago talking about he couldn't even talk about different vintages of the same wine without talking about different dishes.
Yeah, and it just really hit me. Well, first of all, of course, as a chef, it was so exciting for me to hear him be so excited about food and that is how he thinks when he's making his wine and blending the grapes or whatever, you know, his process is. He's always thinking about food paired with it. And that's when I realized that, okay, here we go. This is the perfect marriage. Food and wine need each other.
I think that's, but the funny thing is, I think that's everyone's experience. Everyone's experience is, well, I like to drink this.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're a kid, well, I like High C or I like Mountain Dew. I hate Dr. Pepper or, you know,
whatever
it might be. Right, but I like to drink this. And then it's also, I like, well, again, when you're a kid, I like macaroni and cheese. I hate hot dogs or whatever it might be. So you put together like you got your High C, you got your macaroni and cheese, all is good in the world, right?
Yes.
So people start doing that, but it's 25 years later, 30 years later, and they start going out to such and such a restaurant or making a meal at home.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the thought process, it takes a while to evolve. I think that's a pretty normal and honest experience.
No, I think it's a good comment to make because people probably aren't, you know, you're not conscious of it. You don't realize that, oh, what I'm doing is pairing two friends together instead of thinking about the relationship between the two friends and how well they could actually get along together. Well,
yeah, I mean, that's the two metaphors I often use for clients when I try to help them sort of understand the situation. If it's a gentleman, I'll often say, you know, so your favorite shirt. What is your favorite shirt? Okay, what is your favorite tie? Are they necessarily going to be really nice together? Are they going to make each other look better? Or are you going to look like a fool?
Right.
You know, there's a reasonable chance you might look foolish.
Right.
They have to work together in order to, you know, in order for you to look the way that you should. So
and the more you taste wine, the more you realize how many minute differences there are from, you know, year to year, let alone, you know, winemaker to winemaker to plot of land versus one that might even be next to each other.
It's the details.
It's amazing. Any recipe.
The details of cooking. How many times have you changed, the shrimp and grits dish that you're so well known for.
Mm-hmm.
How many different variations have you made of that dish over the years? How many refinements have you made of the same dish over the years?
You know, the first time I made it, I thought, well, this is really good. I really love this dish. And then I'm constantly refining. So that is how it works.
How many different sources for shrimp?
Mm-hmm.
How many different sources for grits? How many different kinds of butter have you used to finish that
sauce? A lot of different butters.
Right?
Yes,
and
definitely.
And they all change it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's all in the details.
Mm-hmm. It is indeed. Well, and the other thing, you know, when it has to be a challenge for guests when they're sitting down in the dining room because they can order whatever they want. So what do you do when, you know, you have let's say a four top that has their last course is duck and someone's having the turbo and someone's having salmon and someone else is having chicken? You know, how are you, you know, if they say, what would you suggest for this, you know, a bottle for these four courses? How do you handle that?
Well, again, it goes down to the details. It really is what are the details of the dish? So the salmon, what's the salmon preparation?
Let's say barouge and a little bit of wilted spinach and crispy potatoes.
So a red wine butter sauce that has pretty good acid and a little bit of sweetness to it.
Right.
Okay, that's probably the big flavoring agent other than the relatively fatty fish.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are the details of the chicken dish?
I think grilled rosemary marinated with fresh morel cream would be beautiful. So that's that detail. So
chicken breast or chicken thigh?
Chicken breast.
Okay, so. And then the third thing you said was turbo,
mm-hmm.
a really delicate fish. So what is the preparation on the turbo?
carrot puree with a little bit of passion fruit and just a touch of fresh orange juice and sugar in it, and pan-seared foie gras and a little bit of lemon beurre blanc. Okay. So now you have two butter sauces and a cream sauce. This is a healthy plate up.
delicate fish.
Yes.
And a little bit sweet, earthy carrot puree and the fatty foie gras.
Right.
Which has its own richness. But it's a little bit of a sweet tart preparation with those things.
And then duck.
The chicken is earthy and creamy and delicate but rich.
Mm-hmm.
And the duck is what preparation?
Lentil cream with vidalia onion
beignets.
Is it
magre? Is it leg?
Magre.
So the breast of the breast of the duck, kind of a steaky duck breast.
Yes.
So you said lentil cream?
Lentil cream and onion beignets.
So again, pretty earthy. So the thing is, the first thing you think is, well, it has to be, you have to do, what's going to not crush anything? What's going to not ruin anyone's dinner? You know, that's, if you have a giant tannic red wine, which is one dish might take, say a big California Cabernet Sauvignon or a bottle of Bordeaux, could be fabulous to drink, but if it's going to crush those fish, the tannins, that sort of grippy business, the chalky business on your palate, the delicate fish are going to be done. The chicken will not be able to handle that. There's not enough fat. You need meat fat for heavy tannins like that. The magre could, but doesn't have to have that to be successful. So the magre is sort of the odd man out in this situation. The others all want something that's rich. If it's going to be, it's either white or red. You're right on the border of that kind of thing. You can do an easy default, honestly, and have a bottle of champagne with those dishes.
That's a good
idea. It's not going to be that. You love champagne. It's not going to be that easy with the magre for it to carry the dish.
Mm-hmm.
It would need to be really, really earthy champagne. So something maybe with some bottle age to it, or a big barrel like Bollinger, some big toasty style.
Yeah.
Maybe a Jacasson, one of the non-dosage bottlings or something. One of those might work. But it may not be my first choice.
Is there a red that you're thinking?
It could be red, but it would have to be red with very little tannin and not a particularly fruity red, because you have lots of earthy elements.
Yes.
Something that's really fruity is going to be really jarring. It's like a neon purple tie with like a navy suit and a white shirt. You know, it's like, whoa. It's just a little more than you can handle with that backdrop. You need something that, if it's a red, maybe a 2011 very cool vintage Argan Pinot Noir could do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have to be, because it's a tough vintage, for being so cool, it would have to be a really fine crew, maybe one of the Chez Vineyard producers or something. It could be 2004, 2006, like Northern Piemonte, a Gattinara or Nebbiolo, but not as heavy as Brolo Barbaresco.
I love Gattinara.
There's a great producer called Antichi Vigneti di Cantolupo that produces a wine in Gemme, in a vineyard that's been famous since Roman times, and that was held by monks for about 1,400 years.
Wow, that's a great history.
There's a super remarkable wine. I think they could carry that with very, very fine tannins, and it's almost like the buds of tea roses on the nose of that wine.
Sounds beautiful.
Incredibly earthy and very pretty and very like bright dried cherries or fruit. That could work with those dishes. The turbo having the fatty element and the meaty element with the foie gras helps get to the light red. If the turbo did not have an element like that, you couldn't get to the lighter red.
Okay.
If you were going to do a rich white, it would need to be something robust. An Austrian Riesling, believe it or not, from a producer like Herzberger, that did really big wines in 2007 and 2008. They harvest late but dry. The wines have very good body for Riesling. Fermented completely dry. There's a brilliance to them because it is Riesling. There's a great mineral content of those wines.
Are they very floral?
They're more petrally and more mineral than they are floral.
Okay.
It's the earthy element to carry through with things. It has enough muscle, both in alcohol and in phenolic material, that density of the wine to carry off those dishes. So I think that could be very interesting. Grand Cru Chablis could actually probably carry that magre, believe it or not, especially from a big producer in a big year like 2008 or 2010. A producer like Ravineau or Dovisa would do that. I think you'd have a hard time with West Coast wine with those dishes, for the most part, because the alcohol levels might be really high.
Okay.
Or if you're going to go into Spain and you're looking for rich red there or something, the alcohol levels might be high. The other sort of wild card is if you did a cooler vintage, older Rioja, it could carry it off. If you're trying to do any of those things on a serious budget, then you're better off looking for that obscure Northern Italian.
That sounds good.
Like the Gemme to carry it off. So, but I mean, that's, and here's an example. I mean, there's like the complicated thought process that goes on in a matter of 28 seconds when you talk to somebody
who
knows.
Yeah, that's a lot to think about. You just talked about four dishes, and that was a lot of thoughts
about. You have to think
about
all the details, the dishes, what's going to balance it, what's, you know, what are the things that are outside the borders of will be successful.
Well, thank goodness there are people like you that know all of that, because that's a tremendous amount of information for someone to have to think through to get to a good bottle of wine for four people to have a great experience.
But people go to those meals once a year or twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And what they really do is make an awful lot of dinner at home.
At home, and they're all having the same thing, which is a lot easier.
Exactly.
Hopefully they're all, maybe not. You might have a vegetarian.
Typically.
Or,
so that's... So while that was, sort of an exercise in sommelery and the thought process that goes on, what we really wanted to do with this food and wine pairing program was to talk about food prepared at home.
Yes, some of the very typical things, like, even something like a hamburger. What, if you had a hamburger, what would be something fun to have with dinner that might be, something very inexpensive or something even a little bit more expensive?
Yeah, this is America. We eat burgers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we eat veggie burgers, turkey burgers, tuna burgers, salmon burgers, beef burgers, or buffalo burgers.
Yeah, and beef burgers made with all different kinds of beef, quality, Angus, what is it? It's Wagyu all the way up.
But at any rate, I mean, Mm-hmm. When we come back, that's where we're going to spend a bunch of time. Cindy's going to hit me with an awful lot of, mom or dad is making this for dinner.
Yeah.
So what do you do? What do you do that might be fancy, and what do you do that's a bit on a budget?
It'll be fun to hear.
When we come back to Formula Wolf on Food and Wine, Cindy's going to give me the big Food and Wine at Home quiz.